Blog Talk Radio.
Centers on the mission of Conscious Capitalism, an international organization started by Whole Foods co-founder and CEO John Mackey and Michael Strong, by featuring businesses who use business to elevate humanity. The Conscious Capitalist Show focuses on spreading the awareness of the Conscious Capitalism business framework and core principles of higher purpose, stakeholder orientation, conscious leadership, and conscious culture. Conscious capitalists are entrepreneurs and business owners who endeavor to create financial, intellectual, social, cultural, emotional, spiritual, physical, and ecological wealth for all their stakeholders. We are committed to making a positive, measurable difference in the world. Your host for the Conscious Capitalist is Christopher King, who goes by King. King is the president of the D.C. chapter of Conscious Capitalism and author of the new book titled Connecting with Intent, Why Social Capital is More Valuable Than Financial Capital. He is the founder and CEO of King Connections, a benefits corporation that is a business leveraging consulting firm that specializes in developing innovative, customized business systems. King Connections helps clients connect with intent to build, manage, and leverage social capital to create high-value, connected, engaged communities. King is the co-founder of the Conscious Success Academy, an online academy for empowering individuals to become mentally and financially free. King is a community activist and leader and is a board member of the Montgomery County Housing Partnerships. King is a writer, speaker, problem solver, and self-claim leveraging connector who believes that happiness in life is when you love unconditionally, serve dutifully, and live with intent. Ross Girardi, Vice President of the D.C. Chapter of Conscious Capitalism, founder and managing director of Conscious Management Consulting, a firm that is dedicated to improving the world by upgrading the organizational cultures and leadership of businesses, government agencies, and military units. Ross is committed to great corporate cultures in the world. His noble cause is to help his clients move forward while remaining in alignment with the core values of the organization's employees. To this end, he is aligned with and operates from his own core values of moving forward in integrity, authenticity, and commitment to higher purpose. Ross believes that everyone has meaning, purpose, and something unique to contribute to the world. He is committed to assisting his clients with unleashing the great gifts of all employees. Ross is also the co-founder of the Conscious Success Academy.
Hello, listening audience.
I'm your host, King, and welcome to today's show, The Conscious Capitalist. Unfortunately, my co-host, Ross Girardi, is unavailable to join today. We have an exciting show planned in which we're going to change our format this year. You know, last year we focused on a lot of interviews to really kind of expose everyone to the individuals who were in our network, some of the conscious leaders. And so I would say in this show in particular, we're going to really focus on, instead of interviewing, but really focus on defining what I consider to be the seven steps to freedom for conscious leaders. Because to be a conscious leader requires that before you can lead others, you have to be a self-leader. You have to lead yourself. And what I believe that there is seven steps that you have to go through from my research, from the books I've read, such as The Conscious Capitalist by John Mackey and Raj Sasodia, Firms of Endearment by Raj Sasodia, Be the Solution by Michael Strong, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen R. Covey, so on and so forth. Those are the type of books that really helped me to begin to put together what I believe to be a framework of what it takes to actually be a conscious leader. Because we throw around those terms, conscious leader, quite a bit within the conscious capitalism movement. As you know, the four principles of conscious capitalism are, number one, having a higher purpose, number two, stakeholder orientation, number three, conscious leadership, and then number four, developing conscious culture. And as I've often said to the folks that I work with within the movement and folks that I always expose, or that I say to folks when I expose them to conscious capitalism for the first time, that in order to be a conscious leader, you definitely have to be mindful of the first two. In other words, you create a company that has the intention of doing good, of having a higher purpose, and then also caring about your stakeholders, which your key stakeholders are your, number one, your employees, number two, your strategic partners, number three, your clients, number four, the actual community itself to be a part of your stakeholders, and then, of course, number five, your actual shareholders. And not necessarily in that order, but definitely the appeal that the shareholders come last is important because conscious shareholders understand that if the other four stakeholders are probably taken care of and cared for, then there'll be much more profit for them as a shareholder on the back end. So they clearly understand that. So that's what today's show is going to talk about, the seven steps to freedom for conscious leaders. And so I want to begin by talking about the first step, which is discover your purpose. And so I think that's incredibly important because what I've realized as an entrepreneur, that one thing that is certain is that your life is fraught with so much uncertainty, that uncertainty becomes your best friend because you don't have a check coming every 2 weeks. And if without a system in place, then more likely, and a lot of commitment and effort on your part and faith, then you go through bouts of, you know, should I stay an entrepreneur? Should I go back to work for someone else? Should I keep to this commitment? And what I've learned is that if you don't know your purpose in life, you haven't discovered that, which is what I feel is a key ingredient to becoming a conscious leader and an entrepreneur, then you will not have sustainability. You won't persevere through the difficult time. And so I want to open the lines up right now to allow callers to call in and see if anyone is interested in discussing the first step, which is discover your purpose. Hello, and welcome to the Conscious Capitalist Show. I'm your host, King. Who am I speaking with? Hello? You're on the air with the Conscious Capitalist Show. Hello? Okay, I guess we have some technical difficulties there. Well, let's get back to the discover your purpose. Now, discovering your purpose is really a core fundamental step. And when I mean your purpose, let me give you a little more information on what I mean when I say that. Like for me, my purpose is my definition. It's my identity. For example, when I was younger and I was a youth, of course, when you were a male, growing up as a male child, the first identity that you have is the fact that you are a male, and that gets instilled in you. You know, you need to grow up to be a young man. You know, young men carry themselves a certain way. Here's what is here's what it means to be a man. You need to stop acting like a boy and become a man. You hear that constantly. And so that becomes your first identity, that I'm a man, you know. Before you know anything else about who you are and what you do and what's important to you, you understand that you're a man. Secondly, the next step is in my identity journey was understanding that right around the 1980s, there was this huge movement in rap that shifted to what we call a conscious rap. And then within this conscious rap, we realized that, you know, there's this language came out talking about being proud to be black. And for the first time, that was the first time I had really heard that in rap. And that really had a huge impact and influence on my life and my psyche, because for the first time, I actually looked at being black as something to be prideful of and something to be cherished, something to be honored that I was coming from a long line of, you know, number one, kings and queens in Africa. And then a lot of the African leaders or black leaders that were part of the civil rights movement, the abolitionist movement, the and all the other movements that have led us here to today, their role in my life. And so I became black and being proud to be black, even though when I mean black, I mean from a mentality standpoint, that became my identity. So I'm a black man. And now I combine the first one with the second one, and that really became my identity and really had a huge change in how I approach life, because now I had a purpose within that context. So education became purposeful because I realized as a black man that I was put here on this earth to acquire education. Education became important. When before that, I didn't really understand the importance of education. It was go to school, learn an education so you can get a good job. And then when I looked around my community, the folks, you know, including my parents, they didn't really have the kind of jobs that I looked at that would make me want to go to school and study hard and strive to follow in their footsteps. So there wasn't really a lot of incentive or motivation for me to go to school with those as the incentives. And so when I became aware, and I would say right around the age when I was 18, actually, that, you know, I was a black man and that really meant something. But I come from a rich history and culture, in particular, looking at slavery. You know, a lot of folks look at slavery, and particularly black folks that I know I've talked to, and they look at that with a negative outlook, as something to be ashamed of. And I've always looked at it as something to be very prideful of, because I've often said that if you really look at it, and this is not just my opinion, this is the facts, is that, you know, the blacks here in America, we're descendants of the strongest of the cream of the crop that came from Africa. In other words, the weak ones died off in the Middle Passage. They died off at the when they got dropped off at the different slave making ports, you know, around the different islands such as Trinidad and Tobago and Jamaica. Yeah, so when they came here to these shores, those were the Africans that survived all the horrific traveling over the Middle Passage, slaves making brutality, and those are the ones that survived it, and I'm a descendant from that. And to me, that's a very strong stock to be a descendant from, and that gave me a lot of pride when I put it in that perspective. Not to mention the fact that I'm a descendant from individuals who created their own subculture here in America. You know, blacks are a combination of being African and American. That's what we use the term African-American. I feel like you use the term black because, to me, growing up with the identity of being black still had a better ring. And to me, black is more about a mentality than it is a color. You know, I understand the importance of African-American having a landmass to identify with. But, again, the pride, the culture comes from the black. So black is really a mindset more so than anything else. I'm very prideful of that within that context. And so, but as I got older and I realized that even having that as an identity still wasn't enough for me to get to the level of fulfillment that I wanted to have in my life. That was a great propelling point, and it was definitely much more impactful than just being a male, but actually getting to the point where I need to make the next transition in my life, being a black man and having that as my identity wasn't enough. And so I began to go through a process of deep, deep self-discovery, doing what I consider to be a deep introspective analysis of who I really was as an individual. And one of the things I definitely want to share with everybody that I believe everybody should go through this at some point in their lives is to really have about 6 months that you don't necessarily date anybody, that you're able to just really find out who you are without trying to care. Maybe care might be the wrong word, but I would say when your focus and your attention is on you as an individual, on you as a person. And so it is within that context that I realized that I needed to figure out something that was even more deeper as far as who my identity was and my gender and the color of my skin. And so it was through that search that I began to read all forms of different religions books. I began to read all forms of personal development books because I wasn't happy with my career. And I'm talking right around the age of about 25, 26, when I had already reached some very high level success in my career, in which I was at this point working for Booz Allen Hamilton, and I was a highly paid system engineer, and I was actually the team leader of about 6 folks worldwide at the age of 26. And so I had reached some levels of success in my life that through having black as my identity and just being focused had gotten me there. But I knew that for me to get to the next level, which at that time I was aspiring entrepreneurship and starting my own business, I couldn't get there with just having the black as my, being black as my only identity. And so through this deep introspective analysis, I began to really ask key questions about why I was here on this earth and what did religion mean? What role does religion have in my life, such as at that time I was a Christian? And was it enough for me to latch on and guide me and direct me and give me the confidence that I can do anything I wanted to do in this world? So I studied Islam, Judaism, Hinduism. I studied all kind of books on personal development because, again, I wanted to start my own business. And so it was through that quest that I began to read books such as The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen R. Covey, Deepak Chopra's books such as The 7 Spiritual Laws of Success. And I began to read other books like Napoleon Hill's book, obviously Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice by Dennis Kimbrough. And I began to read these books and Anthony Robbins' book, Personal Power. And they began to awaken in me something that I didn't know was there, which was that I was a spiritual being. And within this spiritual being, that there was much more of a reason why I was here on this earth, as opposed to just being a male or just being a black male, that I'm actually a spiritual being with a higher purpose than just those two things. And that, for me, was when things really began to change in my life and how I approach life. And I realized, because up until that point, again, I was making 6 figures at the age of 26, and I wasn't happy with my life. I was happy that I had achieved these goals, but, you know, in my daily life, my daily activities, what I did for a living, I wasn't satisfied. As a matter of fact, I was actually got to the point where I was depressed, and my doctor had described for me to take Prozac as an antidepressant. And I realized that it wasn't that I was just depressed. I just wasn't happy. I wasn't happy with what my choices had gotten me to. Yes, I was happy with the financial success I had acquired, and my career was definitely something that was on the fast track. But when it came down to, was it fulfilling? Was it providing me with enough spiritual fulfillment? The answer was no. And so that's what led to the depression. So, of course, I quickly got off Prozac, didn't like the idea of having a doctor prescribe drugs for me and being something I would have to get addicted to or have to need in order to function. So I never wanted to develop a tolerance or a dependency to drugs. And so it was within that journey, that discovery, that I realized that I was a spiritual being. And then I discovered what my purpose was. My purpose is to serve. I was put here on this earth to be a servant. And once I had that realization, and that helped transform and it really changed my paradigm. You know, as Stephen R. Covey talks about, paradigms are really like maps of how we govern our lives, maps of how we see things, our particular perspectives on life. and that, you know, no matter how committed you are, no matter how smart you may be, if you got the wrong map, then you will not be successful in what you do. And so, for example, he talks about how you can be in a city of Washington, D.C., for example. You could be actually in the city of Washington, D.C. and needing directions to get around, and someone gives you a map of the city of Chicago. And so even though it's a map, and it's a map of Chicago, and you're in D.C. trying to get around, you won't be very you will not be able to get anywhere with that map of Chicago. And so no matter how hard you try, no matter how committed you are, no matter how positive your thoughts may be, you're still not going to get to your destination because you just have the wrong map, which is the wrong paradigm. And for me, having my identity be tied to my race or to my gender was the wrong map. That's the wrong paradigm. So when I began to change that, and it brought my perspective that I was a human being, I mean, I was a spiritual being, and I was in this world, but not of this world, in the context that, you know, time really that doesn't have a dimension. My life doesn't end and begin with my day that I was actually here on my earth time as a spiritual being, that I am here forever. And so time is really infinite in that context, and that I have a purpose here while I'm in my physical form, and that purpose became my identity, and that is service. So that's step number one. That's my long answer to step number one, to discover your purpose in life. Now, step number two of the 7 steps to freedom for conscious leaders is develop a plan. Now, when I mean develop a plan, again, I'm speaking of conscious leaders who want to start a business. Within that plan is your life plan as well as your business plan. Now, your life plan encompasses your business plan because it talks about what you're going to do for your life, what are you here for, which takes into consideration your purpose. And so it's within that context that you really begin to look at how do I go about drafting up a plan and executing a plan. But again, if you don't have a plan, then what I've learned is you're following someone else's plan. So I'm going to open up the line again to another caller who I see joined. So let's see who's on the line. Hello, welcome to the Conscious Capitalist Show. I'm your host, King. Who am I speaking with? Hello? Hello? Okay. Yes, we still got someone else that may not necessarily want to talk, they just maybe want to listen, and that's fine. So going back to developing a plan is what I feel is lacking from so many people who I look at in life who have what I call the roller coaster rides of life, where they have periods of success and they go through periods of in their lives when they're not successful. You know, so they go up and down. They go through life in that context. That's because they don't have a plan that is really tied to their purpose. So those are the first two, your purpose and a plan. The third step to freedom for conscious leaders is having a higher purpose. So that once you discover your purpose, the next step is making sure that purpose is something that is more than just about you. For example, you can think your purpose in life is to make a lot of money, or your purpose in life is to play sports, or your purpose in life is to be an entertainer, or any of those type of things. But the point of the matter is when you develop yourself as a conscious leader, you have to have a higher purpose than just that. So, yes, you may be an entertainer. Yes, you want to make money, but you have a higher purpose than that. And so within that context, I like to use an analogy that one of my fellow conscious capitalists once shared with me. And he talked about the analogy of a computer. He says that a computer is not created solely for the purpose of housing electricity, even though it needs electricity in order to function. That's not the purpose of a computer. And so you relate that to business. A business needs money to survive and operate, but the primary purpose of a business for existence is not to make money. It's to solve a problem. It's to bring a value to the world, and that's your higher purpose. Then money will come, just as a computer needs electricity to operate. Your business needs money. Money will come because your money will come as a result of how successful you are at executing your vision or your purpose that you have in life. And so having a higher purpose is, again, from the seventh experience of conscious leaders, having a higher purpose. Now, it really, again, takes a lot of thought process, analysis, self-awareness, emotional intelligence even, to get to the point where you can actually figure out what your higher purpose is, you know, and really get locked in and stick to the higher purpose. Because, again, the road to entrepreneurship, for those of you all who are entrepreneurs, you know that it is fraught with challenges and pain in the context that folks who don't believe in you initially, when you tell them that you want to be an entrepreneur and that you're starting this business, you have those doubters, those dream killers, I call them, and they can even be within your family. And that's what it really hurts the most. And when you start to share with your family what type of business you want to start and what type of business that you want to have and that you have this desire to create this business, first thing that out of your family's and friends, your close family and friends' mouths is, you know, don't do that. That's what I heard, at least from my perspective. When I walked away from my career, you know, after spending 20 years in the IT industry, and I decided I wanted to walk away from that and start off from scratch and start my own business, everyone thought I was insane. I said, how can you walk away from a six-figure job? How can you walk away from a career that, you know, you were able to sit here and create and build up for your efforts and, of course, God's blessings? And more importantly, how can you walk away from a company like Booz Allen Hamilton? I mean, if Booz Allen Hamilton is a great company to work for, at least it was when I was working there. And so I walked away from all of that because I knew in my heart I wanted to live my purpose, and my purpose was to serve others. Now, I couldn't serve others in the context effectively working for someone else. So that was why I had to walk away from that, and I had to live my higher purpose. So now step number four in the 7 steps of freedom for conscious leaders is to connect with intent. Now, connecting with intent is understanding that you are not going to be able to achieve your purpose alone. That is not something that you're going to be able to achieve by yourself, that you need others to be able to help you. And so connecting with intent is to go out and you establish strategic relationships with other like-minded individuals to help you carry forth your purpose. And hopefully, through that discovery, you find individuals who you have what's called shared purpose with. And that's when you really begin to create that mastermind that Napoleon Hill talks about when he talks about individuals coming together and 2 + 2 does not necessarily equal 4. That 2 + 2 can actually equal 5 or 6 or 7 because you create that synergy and that separate mind is created. And when those minds are now harmonizing around the same goal, the same purpose, then that's where miracles happen. And so connecting with intent is a strategy that I really advocate through my business, King Connections, of helping individuals connect with intent. And what I mean with that is you connect with the intent to come together to do something that you cannot do alone. And you understand that. So you seek to create a relationship with someone to say, I need you to work with me to achieve this goal. Because we can, together we can achieve more than we can individually. So I'm connecting with you with the intent to do something great, to do something powerful, to do something meaningful, to help improve the world or to bring value to our community. And that's what connecting with intent is, which is a much more higher level activity than simply networking or passing out business cards. So that's the 4th level of the 7 steps to freedom for conscious leaders, is to connect with intent. Now the 5th level is now that you've discovered your purpose, you develop a plan. Number 3, you have a higher purpose. Now, number 4, you're out there connecting with intent. The 5th step is now to do it with love, because that determines how you go about making these relationships, how you go about implementing your plan, how you go about executing your higher purpose and living your purpose, is to do it with love. Now, when I say love, I don't mean that love that they talk about in the romantic songs or in the romantic sense that, you know, it's all about this romance. I'm talking about love as being the universal energy that connects us all to one another, that we all want to be connected to, the unconditional love. And my spiritual studying and understanding, I actually equate, if you really read about God and you really understand what God really is, or the Creator or Allah, whatever term you use to call or refer to him, if you really think about the characteristics of the individual, it fits the characteristics of love. In other words, God is love. Love is that feeling that we all want to have. I call it the energy because we all are energy. And love is the energy that we want to connect to, because when we are in love, or we're feeling love, or we're talking about love, or we're sharing love, experiencing love, then we're happy. That's what we all want. We want to be in love. Now, again, I'm not talking about loving a person in a romantic sense. I'm talking about being in the feeling of love, in which everything around you is positive energy, people wanting to help one another, people truly caring for each other, the kind of unconditional love that a mother has for a child, in which everyone around the mother knows, and the mother herself knows, that a child could either be a criminal or a bad child, but the mother still has love for their child unconditionally because of the bond that was created by birthing that child. That's the love I'm talking about. And it's within that love that you go out and you operate your business in that context to create value, to help people in their lives so that their life is better off as a result of meeting you. You know, one of the key questions we ask as conscious leaders and who are developing conscious businesses is, how would the world be different once your business exists? If you can't really answer that question, then you really haven't discovered your purpose. You definitely haven't defined your higher purpose for how you're going to go about carrying forth and conducting your business. And so, again, do it with love. And love is something that we all should aspire to be connected to and live with as much as we can throughout our day. You know, that's what I really believe love is. It takes love for a person to sit here and commit themselves to service. You have to love, first of all, you love yourself. You have to love God. You have to love others in order for you to say to yourself, I'm going to commit my life to helping bring about a change in the world, a positive, measurable change in the world. Then that only comes through love. Now, number six in the seven steps to freedom for conscious leaders is to become a problem solver. Now, problem solver, I think about that for a second. When I say problem solver, I'm in a person who is committed to solving problems for others. And for me, as you see, it really fits directly right into your purpose in life. See, my purpose in life is to serve others, and I am a problem solver. As a matter of fact, thanks to Booz Allen, I'm a trained problem solver in the context that I think logically. As I sit and talk to individuals on a daily basis, and I'm listening to the individual, I follow the teachings of the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and what Stephen R. Covey talks about, the importance of listening, seeking first to understand, then to be understood. So in other words, you're listening empathically to make sure that you're totally present in the moment while that person is speaking, and you're listening with the intent to solve their problem as a problem solver. And for me, that's instinctive. I can listen to anyone talk about a problem, even though they may be venting. And in my mind, I'm already thinking about ways they can solve their problem. And I'm coming up with suggestions that I can give them in which they can implement immediately to begin to resolve the problem they're speaking of. So become a problem solver. And that's how you can really become a very valuable person to others, is because you're a problem solver. Like, for example, when Bill Gates decided to create Microsoft and he wanted to have a personal PC on everybody's desk, he was solving the problems. He was solving the world's problems. And as a result of that vision, we all have computers on our desk today. Out of that mainframe world that computers were currently operating in when he had that vision. So his ability to solve the problems, and the more folks whose problems you solve, will determine how much more successful you are in your business. And so, again, as a result, Stephen R. Covey, following that advice, listen empathically and seeking to understand, become that problem solver. And as you're that problem solver and you build up your competence, you build up your intelligence, and you build up your resources so that even if you don't have the intellectual capabilities, skills, and knowledge to resolve that problem, your resources within your network, if you connect it with intent properly, then you have individuals that you're connected to that can be solve the problem for the individual. And so, again, let's go back to seven steps to freedom for conscious leaders are: number one, discover your purpose. Number two, develop a plan. Number three, have a higher purpose. Number four, you connect with intent. Number five, you do it with love. Number six, you become a problem solver. And now number seven. Number seven is you want to be principle-centered. And what I mean when I say principle-centered, again, I'm going back to the book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Now, those of you all who know me know that that book was definitely one of the most important, most influential books in my life. I've read the book over 250 times. I have the audio version of the book. I actually have DVDs, rather, of Stephen R. Covey speaking and teaching workshops on the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And I've actually read the written book close to 200 times. So it's a book that I pretty much read and reference every day, and I treat it as a Bible. So it's not a book I just read once and put away, but I wanted to really adopt the philosophy of what he was really teaching, the wisdom of what he was saying in that book. And now with that being said, he talks about understanding what your center is. And he gives examples of some folks are money-centered. In other words, if you talk to them, it's all you talk about is money. Money is everything to them. So that's their center. That's their definition. In other words, I liken center to the identity. And so their identity is money. It's tied to money. They want to make money. I remember Snoop Dogg had this song called, you know, he used the line, I have my mind's on my money's on my mind. Now, again, for a catchy tune, that's nice. But when you really put that in the perspective of a philosophy for life, then you have to have something deeper than just your mind and your money, or your money and your mind, particularly if you want to have a conversation or build a relationship with me. You have to have a higher purpose. So being principle-centered means that you look at life in the context that you are governed by principles. Now, again, he talks about, again, Stephen R. Covey talks about principles being universal laws. You cannot change, that are not opinion-based, that are not someone written up and can change over time. They're universal, meaning they're always constant. An example that he gives is gravity. Gravity is a universal law. You know, no matter how you grow up, no matter how the man's mind may be creative enough to think of ways to leave the earth to fight the pull of gravity, it's only temporary. Because eventually, we're going to have to come back down to earth. So you can't escape it. And he talks about a lot of folks are always confused and use, I should say, mistakenly use principles and values as synonyms, and they're not. They're two totally different things. For example, a principle is a universal law, and when you break a universal law, there's a consequence, such as another principle of universal law is trust. When you violate a person's trust, there's a consequence. You know, you violated their trust, so now there's going to be consequences as a result of that. The relationship that you all have is going to be different. Now, you all still may remain as friends or whatever the relationship may have been, but it's going to be different. It's going to be a different way they deal with you as a result of that. Integrity is another universal principle. If you violate integrity, and integrity is, you know, being true to your word. It's when your actions and your words are one, that's living with integrity. You know, and so, again, when you violate that, that talks about your character, and then that becomes very difficult for you to really begin to really do business in a very effective way if your character is in question, or you're a person of low integrity, or you're a person that can't be trusted. Then you are a person that really will find it very difficult to function in society, so much so that you will always constantly be seeking new relationships with folks who don't know you, who don't know their track record. But because, again, these are universal laws, you will violate trust again, you will violate integrity again, and as a result, there will be consequences. Now, values determine behavior. Like, you know, even criminals can have values. Like, I've, you know, you read about the mafia. The mafia has strong values. You know, you can sell drugs, but not at a school. You know, that's a values within the mafia's code. Certain gangbangers may say that you can kill each other. I mean, we believe in murder, but not within among ourselves. See, those are values. And values, what happens when you violate the value, values determine behavior. With principles, there's consequences that govern principles. And so being principle-centered means that you define what your core values are, and that is what governs your life. That's how you measure your decisions. That's how you create your your paradigm. That's what determines your plan. That's what helps govern whether or not how you're doing things, whether you're on the right road or not. So let me give you examples of what my five core principles are. Number one, my first principle is love. Again, to do everything with love, to give love, to share love, to receive love. Because, again, if you're not receiving love, then, you know, love is not just one way. It's not just about giving. You have to receive love as well. And you want to, again, remember, it's the energy. And when you feel the energy, it's like you walk in a room when there's love in a room. And that's why people go to church and fellowship so much, because during that time of worship and fellowship, you feel the energy of love in that room. And that's such a great feeling. That's what we go for. And so, again, love, number one principle. Number two is integrity. I believe in being a person of integrity. I want to be measured by how much my integrity stands for. Because, again, as it relates to business, in order for me to be successful in business, and particularly my business, which is Team Connection, I'm in the relationship building business that I can only be successful if I have a strong character, and that folks know that if you mention King and what King has done, his character should speak, my character should speak for itself. And that's how I'm able to establish such strong, sustainable, strategic relationships. Now, the person who has questionable character, they're not going to be as successful. And so often people often, again, use the two words as reputation and character as synonyms as well. And they're totally different. Where a reputation is what someone thinks about you. That's what someone may have an opinion about you, and that's your reputation. But your character is who you are based off your actions, based off your choices, based off your track record. And so character is what you really want to have said and be a person of sound character instead of worrying about a reputation. So, again, if you're a principle-centered, then that's what you focus with. So going back to integrity is my second principle. My third principle is to constantly seek wisdom. Constantly seek wisdom. Well, the Bible says that in Proverbs, that you constantly want to seek wisdom. As a matter of fact, it says, seek wisdom, pay anything. And so it is within that mindset that you constantly have to seek to acquire wisdom. Wisdom in the context of reading information, wisdom in the context of actually putting forth your plan, your purpose, and then learning from the mistakes you made. You know, from every lesson comes wisdom. That's why I'm never afraid to fail. I believe in selling my way to success, because the more you begin to just put forth an action, then you will learn that what the proper way to do something and the proper way not to do something. And then that becomes the wisdom that you learn. So wisdom is vitally important. So you almost always have to have a plan in which you're improving your wisdom. So, again, that's for me, that's my third principle. My fourth principle is serving, is getting out and service. Again, service, as I said before, that is my purpose in life. So now you've heard me say it again, that's a core principle to me. I govern my life by how well I serve. I measure my business. I quantify my business by how well I serve. I give folks a 30-day money-back guarantee on the product or services I provide within my companies, because if they're not satisfied, if a person who has now done business with my customer or my client, they're not satisfied with my level of service, then I, at that point, will say, you can have your money back. Because if you're not satisfied, I'm not worthy of your money in my eyes. It could be for whatever reason. I'm not going to sit and argue with them and say, well, no, this is what I told you you would get, and, you know, back and forth. At the end of the day, it's not worth it. I want you to have value. I want to be a person of service. If I fail to service you in your mind, then, number one, here's your money back. Number two, I'd rather not have you in my network, because I can't create value for you. I can't create value. So if I can't create value, if I can't serve you, I can't live my purpose with you, then there's no strong reason for you being in my network. And for folks who really know me, you know I say this constantly, I live by one key rule in my life. That is, if you can't change the people, then you must change the people. Again, let me repeat that. If you cannot change the people, then you must change the people. And so, again, that goes back to the service. Service is a core principle of mine. And then my fifth core principle is faith. I believe that without faith, nothing even matters. Faith in a higher being, faith in knowledge of knowing that if I do my best, if I put forth my best effort, and I'm doing in the service of others to make a measurable, impactful, positive difference in the lives of others, that I will be successful in everything that I do. I truly believe that, without a shadow of doubt. And even though I may not have all of the how worked out when I initially write my plan, I have faith to know that if I just step forth and I do my part and I do it to the best of my ability, that I'll be successful. And what I'm not successful at, if I fail, it's not a complete failure to the point where I stop the activity. But what it does, it teaches me how to do the activity better. You know, I quote Bill Gates, and he says that he doesn't consider anything that he's attempting to be a failure until he's done it at least 7 times. 7 times. Now think about that. Ask yourself the question, how many of you all have actually committed, and even before you began, you commit to the process of saying that I am not going to stop this endeavor, this business, this project, until I've attempted it 7 different times. But he says that by the time he gets to the 7th time, he's learned so much about how not to do it, what he was working on, that exercise was very beneficial. And again, if you look at that and sum it up, that's wisdom. That's how you gain wisdom. You gain wisdom from experience, and you gain experience from trying. And you have failures in that trying process. Like, you know, you constantly hear folks like Napoleon Hill talk, use an analogy of baseball. And they say that a person who bats 300 or better, you know, 300, 330 batting is considered a top hitter in baseball. And again, that's someone that's, if you look at it on a scale of 10, they're getting 3 hits out of 10 at bat, they average. And that person is considered a very successful top hitter in baseball. And so, again, just going back with the mindset and understanding that we have to be driven or governed by core principles. And I've just given you mine. And that's why I say the 7 steps to figure for conscious leaders, that 7th one is to be principle-centered. So I share with you my 5 core principles. And these are things. These are some of the things that I believe, in my mind, constitute what helps a person become a conscious leader. If you have those things, you discover your purpose. If you develop a plan, if you have a higher purpose for your plan, if you go out and connect with intent, and you create masterminds and build strategic relationships to help you execute and carry forth your plan, if you do it with love, if you become a problem solver, and then finally, you are principle-centered in all your actions, then you will be successful. You will be successful. And what I believe is that there are 5 different levels of success. So, I mean, 5 different types of success to give you a complete happiness, when you can say my life is happy, I'm happy with my life. So success is not just tied to financial success, because we all know individuals who have reached heights of financial success that we can't even imagine, and they're not happy. And then they end up going broke. They end up still committing suicide, end up being depressed. Like our latest example of that was Robin Williams. I mean, from the outside looking in, you know, Robin Williams is considered to be a very successful actor. He's been in the business for over 30 years. He is someone who is admired everywhere he goes. People will want his autograph. People will get attention. People will have love shown to him. And yet still, he still was not happy. He was depressed. And so, again, financial success does not equal a happy life. So, to me, if you want to be a conscious leader and you go through these 7 steps, that's what puts you on a road to a happier life. Because now you discovered your purpose, which I believe changes your life immediately. Once you know your purpose, your life changes. Nothing else really matters other than living your purpose. And, you know, I've often been accused of working too hard. You know, folks would say, you have to find balance. You work too much. And I tell them, I don't really work. What I do is I stay productive. And when you find your purpose in life, you stay in a productive mindset. You want to just do things within your purpose on a daily basis. If you don't get the opportunity, that's when you get frustrated. That's when you feel as though you're not happy with your life. And so to avoid that feeling of pain, I live my purpose to the fullest. I live my purpose every single day. I set goals within my purpose, and I live it. Number two, going back to that plan again. That plan is, I can't stress the importance enough about having that plan. Because, again, if you don't have a plan, then I guarantee you're following someone else's plan. That's a universal law as well that I realize. It's not that you just don't have a plan, you just walk around aimlessly. No, if you walk around aimlessly, then what you're doing is you're opening yourself up to receiving someone else's plan, and you begin to work their plan, whether you're watching a car commercial and they tell you to go out and buy a Mercedes-Benz because the Mercedes-Benz is the best car for you, and they're showing you these commercials, and you go buy one strictly because you believe it's going to be your better self-image, or you go buy food because you're watching commercials, you're following someone else's plan. Or when you go buy all these material things that really, in the end of the day, doesn't really make you happy, so you go buy more material things, you're following someone else's plan. When you date someone because they're physically attractive, because it's what our society says, this is what constitutes attractive or beauty, is a person who is, you know, who has long hair and a certain eye color and a certain skin complexion, then you follow that and you go date a person, or you actually marry someone who fits that kind of physical description, then you're following someone else's plan when you're not happy. And you know that you're following someone else's plan. Here's a key way to measure it. You know you're not following someone else's plan if you are not happy. That's bottom line. If you're not happy with your life right now, then I guarantee it's because you're not following your plan. You're following someone else's plan. Again, number three, having that higher purpose. I can't iterate that enough, that you have to have a higher purpose for what you do, a purpose that is beyond just making money, that's just beyond your selfish individual thoughts, that is for the greater good. How can I make my community better? That's when you begin to know that you have a higher purpose, because it involves others. And when you talk to others, others can see how they can be a part of it. That's when you know you have a higher purpose. And then number four, now connect with intent. And again, you're building those strategic relationships. You connect with the intent to engage in activities that will bring about positive, measurable difference in the world. And then number five, doing it with love. Again, being so considered that every action, every thought you have is about, how can I do it with love? How can I express to the world that I love it? How can I express to this person I love them? Not conditional love that can change based off how they respond to my love, but unconditional love that doesn't waver, that is consistent, that is permanent, that is sustainable, that is there regardless of how the other person receives your love. You give love because you are a person that is filled with love. And that's powerful. Six, become a problem solver. Again, think about this. Would you love to connect with someone who has a plan, has it with a higher purpose, and they're doing it with love, and they want to solve your problem? Isn't that someone that you would want to connect with, someone you would want to be introduced to? I believe so, and that's a person who I pattern myself to be like every single day. Now, it's not an easy process by any stretch of the imagination. I go through rituals. I go through meditation. I go through studying. I go through accountability sessions to make sure I am being that person, because I strive, my daily goal is to strive to be a better person tomorrow than I was today, a wiser person tomorrow than I was today, a more giving person tomorrow than I was today. And so that's how I make sure I stay consistent and within that path and within that process. And then finally, number seven, to be principle-centered. Again, to be principle-centered is meaning that you're at your very core, you are governed by principles. And so principles determine your actions. Because, again, our actions can be no wiser than our thoughts. Our thoughts can be no wiser than our intellect. Our intellect can be no wiser than our education. And education can be no wiser than the food that we feed it, which goes back to mind food. So keep that in mind as we go forth. So those are the seven steps to freedom for conscious leaders. When I talk about freedom, I'm speaking of both mental freedom and financial freedom. Because, again, if you don't have your own plan, you really don't have mental freedom. Mental freedom is that freedom that helps you to begin to think clearer thoughts, that when you see a problem in the world, you see an injustice in the world, you don't sit here and cuss the injustice. Or as my good friend and mentor, Tababu, likes to say, you don't you don't curse the darkness because there's no light. You find a way to turn light on. That's a person who has freedom of mind. A person with freedom of mind is constantly living their purpose. I call that living with intent. They're doing the things that they want to do with their lives. They're happy. They're bringing about positive change in their lives and in the lives of others. And so, listening audience, I want to thank you all for listening to me today. This has been my version of the 7 Steps to Freedom for Conscious Leaders. I appreciate everyone who listened and the ones who dialed in. I look forward to connecting with you next week, next Friday at 1:30. If you want more information about the DC chapter of Conscious Capitalism, please visit our website at www.consciouscapitalismdc.org. Again, that's consciouscapitalismdc.org. If you want information about conscious capitalism and what our mission, our vision is, if you want more information about me as King, go to my site, which is my new directory, kingconnectme.com, www.kingconnectme.com, which is a membership directory of all my strategic partners, socially conscious individuals, and a variety of different business backgrounds and disciplines that if you're looking to do business with, connect with, you can go to my website. You can search for individuals such as coaches, attorneys, financial advisors, real estate brokers, doctors, dentists, and you can connect with those individuals who adhere to be principle-centered, they live a socially conscious business model, or they're conscious capitalists. You can connect with them and do business with them and know that they're going to adhere and uphold to the same standards that I run my life and run my business by. And so with all that being said, thank you for listening. Until next Friday at 1:30, you can get a replay of this show on We Act Radio on Thursday at 7 p.m. I'm your host, King, and this has been The Conscious Capitalist. Thank you for listening.
Do it.